Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's the one who bears all our sins. Thank the Lord for His presence here this morning. Thank you for the kind introduction, brother. And the elders have been great friends to yours truly. And I'm sure to everybody here that knows the elders, they know they're the kind of folks that are pastoring this church. This church is a blessed church. Amen. Blessed to have the presence of the Lord here. Blessed to have a man of God, pastor, elder, to lead this church. And I don't want to go any further without requesting prayer for the elder family who is going to be at a funeral for Aunt Barbara. Some of you probably heard that name before, who passed away, I believe it was Wednesday. And back in Indiana is where the elders will be for that funeral. That's Brother Elder's aunt, if I have it right. And so we want to pray for the elders as they're out. And we want to ask the Lord to keep His hand upon them and upon the entire family. Could we do that right now in Jesus' name? Lord, we thank You, O God. Lord, You are the one that we look to this morning. You're the one who can give us comfort, O God. You're the one who can give us victory, Lord Jesus. You're a man of sorrows. You're acquainted with grief, Lord. We believe in You to help the elder family, O God. Lift them up by Your everlasting arms, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, O God, we thank You, Lord, for it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. If you haven't had the opportunity to shake somebody's hand near you this morning, why don't you go ahead and shake a hand or two there and give them a praise of the Lord. Again, welcome to our visitors. We're blessed to have you with us here this morning. Praise God. Good to see smiling faces. Well, we've run the gamut this morning as the Holy Ghost has moved here. I looked out this morning. I saw some folks running the aisles and excited and the joy of the Lord. I also saw some folks wiping tears from their eyes. Tears of joy, tears of thankfulness for the presence of the Lord. This might be it. Praise God. I don't know what you expected when you came to church this morning. I suppose in some churches, you know, you might have a ritual and you might have your 60-minute plan laid out there before you in a bulletin, but I can't comment on that, but when you're in a Holy Ghost church, amen, when you're in a Book of Acts church, oh, when you're in a church that's victorious, a soul-winning church, anything can happen as the Spirit of the Lord moves. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. I feel the presence of the Lord here. And somebody here may have already been crying out to get closer to God. Amen. I have good news this morning that God has not put a limit on how close we can get to Him. Amen. We'll draw nigh to Him. He will draw nigh to us. And so you're in a good place this morning being in the house of God. We're in His house. We have drawn nigh to Him this morning, but coming right here. And the assurance is that God will draw nigh to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to let you turn to Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. The Sunday school kids are having their class this morning. They're learning some good things about the Lord. They're not here. But you may have heard a little, the little Sunday school girl after church. Her dad asked her, he said, "Now, what do you think about church this morning?" It had been their first service there. She says, "Oh, Dad, I love the music. Dad, I love the singing. And but you know that commercial was a little bit long." So that's out of the mouth of a child, out of the mouths of babes. Amen. Well, this she might have called this the commercial, the preaching here. I will not hold you long here. In fact, I have a brief message this morning. I feel like it's an important message because it comes from the Scripture. And for that reason, we count it important. Let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and let's start at verse 8. The words of the Apostle Paul in a letter he wrote
to the church at Corinth. He said, "For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice that you were made sorry. I rejoice rather not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance." There's that word again, repent, repentance. "To salvation not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh," what? "Death. For behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." Praise God. A letter that challenged the church at Corinth to repent. Ask God's forgiveness for some things that had been happening in their midst. And this morning, a simple message. And that message is the power of repentance. The power of repentance. I'm assured I'm talking to some folks this morning that have had an experience of repentance. You know the power that God can lift a mighty weight off our soul, off our spirit, off our heart when we're willing to repent in His presence. Let's just pray together one more time. Invite the touch of the Lord in this service. Lord, we thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, mighty God, for the message that You have granted Your church in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we lift You up. We lift You up, Lord. Visit us here this morning, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Everybody say praise the Lord. You can be seated this morning. Amen. The message is a universal message because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That message of repentance comes to us boldly from the Scripture. The Bible said, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Amen. John the Baptist came, and when he came with a simple message. He said simply, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Amen. When we want to be ready for the kingdom of God, there is a message that we need to receive. And that message is simply, repent. Leave that old life behind. Amen. Ready to move on closer to the Lord if we're willing to repent. Praise God. Repent ye. And John the Baptist crashed into Israel's status quo, their religious life that they had established, and they had writings that they had based their rituals upon, and went far beyond the Word of God, and they had some things down to the amount of seeds that they counted out for their tithes, but they left some weighty things back in the closet somewhere, and one of those things that they had neglected was repentance. And when John the Baptist came and began to preach that, it's as though he was splashing cold water in their face. Wake up! Amen. It's time for a spiritual awakening. And when we think of a spiritual awakening, there's one way it'll come. And that is through repentance. There is power in repentance. Oh, it'll bring us alive again. Amen. Amen. The Scripture tells us. It tells us in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Says this, "Repent ye, therefore, and be converted." That's part of our conversion, "that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." There is a refreshing that can come from the throne of God. A refreshing simply means a quickening. It means a bringing alive. It means an awakening. Amen. It means to rejuvenate. It means to revive. It means to bring us back to where we need to be in the presence of God. And it comes through repentance. Amen. Repent you, therefore, and that refreshing will come. Praise God. Now, it doesn't make the devil very happy. when you or I leave sin behind. He had us right where He wanted us. When He had us bound by whatever the sin may have been, whether it may have been lust or where it may have been the appetites of this flesh or the pride of life. That was His snare that He ensnared a soul in. Amen. And the devil knows what it's like to be close to God. Oh yeah, he used to be on a Sunday morning like this. He used to be one of those holy angels that was crying before the throne of God, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," which was and is to come. That was the cry that came out of his mouth. But he rebelled. Amen. He sinned and was cast out of heaven. I'm glad I'm on the side that I'm on. Amen. If I understand it right, when he was cast down, that rebellion in heaven, he took with him a third of the angels. But you know what that tells me? I'm on the side where it's two for one. Amen. He may have a few demons running around, but there are ministering spirits. There are the angels of God. There are the holy angels. I've got two on my side for every devil that comes against me. Flames of fire. That's what the Bible describes, those holy angels that come. And they're in our behalf. And whenever a sinner repents, those holy angels begin to rejoice. For one sinner that repenteth. Amen. For one individual that finds a place at an altar to weep his way through in repentance. There is a rejoicing in heaven. Amen. Not only do we have a party here, but they have a rejoicing time up there too. And all the while, that devil is fuming and he's angry and he's upset because somebody took that step closer to God. They were willing. They were willing to find that place of repentance. So a spiritual awakening. How many of you have ever felt like you need a spiritual awakening? Oh, my. I mean, we'll pray, "Shake me, God. Shake me, God." And there'll be services that we're in. It'll rattle our cage. But, and the big but is that we need to do our part, too. Oh, yeah. And it's repentance. It's repentance. Amen. It's a message that's been preached throughout time. Jesus preached it. First thing he preached is repent. Amen. Of course, John the Baptist preached it. Paul here, we're reading some of his. He preached repentance wherever he went. Peter preached repentance. Amen. Men of God, a man named Nathan preached repentance in the Old Testament. Nathan's not a well-known prophet, but he was well-known in the courts of King David. David, when he was king, good man, a man after God's own heart. That's who David was. And there were reasons for that description of this man, this king. He's the one who wrote those Psalms, the Old Testament songbook, Brother Rich. Amen. That's what David wrote. He sang and played those. He used tunes that he came up with on his harp there. And when he was a little shepherd boy, he had something to sing to those lions and those bears that came against him. He would praise the Lord for victory. Amen. And God would give him victory over every opposition. He was a man after God's own heart. He knew how to praise the Lord. He knew how to pray. He knew how to find his way into the presence of God. But that doesn't mean he was flawless. That doesn't mean he was without human frailties. And the Scripture tells us of the time he committed adultery. He and Bathsheba. And then how he attempted to cover up that adulterous relationship with some lies. And finally, even with murder. You're familiar with that. And so as David went deeper and deeper into his sin and began to get farther and farther from the Lord, something began to happen. God began to stir up this prophet, Nathan. And Nathan came to him with a little story. And this little story, as you recall, probably it told him a little parable. Does anybody remember that? A little parable about a guy that had some sheep, had many sheep. And a wayfaring man came through, and instead of taking one of his sheep out of his large herd, he snatched his neighbor's single little lamb, dressed it for this wayfaring man, and fed that man at his table with his neighbor's lamb. Well, David was incensed when he heard that little story. Why? Because David would have been a shepherd. David knew what it was like to have to put the effort into raising that flock and the energy and everything that went into that. And so he was upset. He said, "You know what ought to be done to that man to do such a thing? He ought to die." Nathan said, "I have to agree, you're the man, though, that did such a thing when you took your neighbor's wife and you had all this kingdom." And so what did David do? A man after God's own heart. He found a place of repentance. He found a place to pray and to fast and to ask God's mercy and God's forgiveness. And time again, we go back to Psalm 51. And Psalm 51 is the story and the psalm that David wrote, a record of his repentance whenever he and Bathsheba had committed adultery. And he said this in Psalm 51. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me." And he said this. He said, "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest." David knew that the root where he'd need to go back to was, though he might need to make some restitution, certainly make some apologies and do best he could to make things right with those about him, it really went back to God. It really went back to make things right with God. If things are not right with God, things can't be right with those about us. We live in a generation, and it's brother against brother, sister against sister. You see, folks, I saw a co-worker come to work the other day with a bruise, and who was it that inflicted that? They had a fist fight. This co-worker told me it was her and her beloved, the boyfriend. You know, people that should be loving one another. People that should be kind to one another. But what's happening? When people are out of sorts with God, guess what? That just naturally transfers to those about them. Amen. I want to be right with God. Amen. If I'm right with God, I'll be right with my neighbor. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. If we'll worship Him with all our heart, might, soul, and strength. Amen. Then we'll be able to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. We'll love our neighbor just the way that we ought to, but it starts out with our relationship with God. And so David said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight." And down in verse 10 of chapter 51 there, he wrote this in Psalms. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We're talking about the power of repentance. Amen. You can draw nigh to God. He said, "Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit." Amen. Those sins that have separated between a man and his God, when that barrier is taken down, there is joy. Amen. There is cleansing. There is rejoicing. Hallelujah. There is victory. Praise God, you can get up from that altar and you can go back out into life with a spring in your step, with a smile on your face. Hallelujah. You'll be able to look people in the eye again. Woo! And when you come to the house of God especially, you won't have to come with your head hanging. Oh, I messed up again. Well, thank God, amen, for repentance. And thank God that if we do sin, we have one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Hallelujah. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brother and sister, we're going to need a time of repentance from time to time. Yeah. Doesn't matter who we are. When Paul wrote the letter that we read to the 2 Corinthians, to the Corinthians, he was writing to people like you and I in the church. Yeah. He was writing to people who spoke with tongues just like he did. He was writing to people who had been baptized in Jesus' name just like Paul was. He was writing to those that sat on pews or whatever they used back then. And he was writing to them, I wrote you a letter because you needed to repent. Well, guess what? Repentance is going to be one of those experiences between now and when Jesus comes. We're going to have to find places of repentance. Amen. We're going to find that there are times and seasons in our lives that if we're not willing to repent, we're going to distance ourselves from the Master. Oh, and I don't want that to happen. Oh, I want to draw nigh to Him. I want to stay close to Him. I want to be in His arms. I don't want to be a Judas or an Esau or others. I guess there will always be those. The Bible says Esau wept seeking repentance, but was unable to find it. Judas, we're familiar. Judas, he came back and threw those coins at the feet of those that, and the Bible says he repented himself. Amen. It'd been good if he had repented to the Lord. He could have found forgiveness. I do believe that if he had walked to that cross that day, when instead of just throwing some coins at some priest's feet and cried out to the one that was shedding his blood that day, Jesus is a forgiving God. Amen. Hallelujah. We need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. He did not shed that blood in vain. When someone finds an altar, when someone begins to cry out to God, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me." We have a God that looks down from on high. And there's a reason He shed that blood, so that He can wash away our sins. Amen. He desires to forgive our sins more than even we desire to have them forgiven. This salvation is not a bloodless salvation. Amen. The Scripture tells us if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. This salvation we have is a blood-bought salvation. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Jeffrey, we sang it this morning. Brother, amen, about the power of the blood, the power of the blood. Thank God for the power in the blood. Amen. Oh, it'd be nice if all those who say all we have to do is accept the Lord as our personal Savior, if it was so simple as that, Jesus would never have had to go to a cross. Amen. There wouldn't have had to been nails in His hands. Amen. There wouldn't have had to been the groans upon a tree. Amen. Shaking a preacher's hand. Oh, if that was all there was to this salvation. But there's much more to this salvation. Hallelujah. There's freedom from sin. Amen. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't have to continue to live in sin and be in bondage to sin. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. There's power in the blood. Woo, hallelujah. Can somebody clap your hands to the Lord this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, He purchased it with His own blood. It was not some lesser person of the Godhead, by the way, that purchased our salvation. Read it in the book of Acts. He said God purchased His church with His own blood. He came in the flesh. Amen. God was the one who was manifest in the flesh. The one who created this whole thing. The one who put the Spirit of life in you and I. He looked down and He said, that creation of mine needs redemption. They need reconciliation. It isn't going to be easy because My law demands blood. But he was willing to step into this world, take upon him the form of a servant, amen, to be humbled and to bring on in himself in the form of a man. And he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And when Jesus took upon him the flesh, now we have a gospel. Amen. When he went to that cross, now we have the blood. Praise God. Let's allow that blood to have full effect in our lives. Have you read Acts 2:38 lately? Turn there with me, even if you have. This is a powerful scripture. It's a powerful scripture. And I know we're familiar with it. Many of you sitting here could quote this scripture this morning, some in English, some of you can quote it in Spanish or some your native language. Here's what happened in verse 36. As Peter began to preach on the birthday of the church, God began to move. I like the move of the Holy Ghost, don't you? Praise God, like we experience here this morning in church. He said in verse 36 as he was preaching, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. It says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Pricked in their heart. The heart is where our affections reside. The heart is where the issues of life come from, according to the Scripture. The heart is where our emotions are stirred up. Amen? There are decisions that are made from the heart. Amen? There are vows that are made from the heart. What's happening in the heart is value. It's important. It's powerful. And the Bible says we're already there. Thank you. Peter answered their question. He said unto them, repent. Wow, there it is. And be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that scripture. Amen. There is a way to draw nearer to God. There is a way to get closer and to draw into His presence. There is a way to have great salvation that takes away our sins. We don't have to go back to the hog trough. We don't have to go back to our old ways if we're willing to repent. Something that's so powerful to me about this scripture is how it goes to the heart. But more than that, if we could step back to that day, it was really just a few days after Jesus had ascended up into heaven that Peter preached this message. Fresh in his heart, Peter's heart, the preacher, fresh in his heart was an encounter with a resurrected Savior, one who had come out of the grave, one who had miraculously appeared to his disciples, one who came to the beach one night while Peter and some of the other disciples had gone back to their fishing. And in his resurrected form, Jesus appeared on that beach, and he prepared some fish for them, those fishermen, and had some bread there. And when they came in from their fishing, Peter, do you remember how he denied the Lord three times? Do you remember how the night before Jesus was crucified, that Peter had said, I'd die for you, Lord? And I believe he meant it to the limits of a man's heart. He meant it from his heart. But the Lord had to tell me, before this night is over, before the cock crows even, you'll deny me three times. And Peter did that. He did the unspeakable. He denied the Lord of glory. The Lord of glory. The one he'd seen heal. The one he had seen cast out demons. The one who had come up from the dead. And he met with the Lord that night right there on that beach. And the Lord looked into that man's heart. And he said, Peter, Will you feed my sheep? Do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Three times, he challenged Peter to reconfirm his love for God. That was a time of repentance. That was a time when Peter found his way back to God the way he needed to. And you and I know there are just times. Only we know, only you or I know, it's between us and God. What we've done, what we've said, how we've lived. Nobody else may have seen that. But we need to have an encounter with God. Don't we? Don't we? Yeah. And be challenged to reaffirm, to confess again our love. And the way we do that is repentance. That's the way we do it. We might need to weep our way through to repentance. We might need to humble ourselves like we've never before humbled ourselves in the presence of God, just as Peter did just a few days before he preached this message. And so from the heart of a repentant man to the heart of some sinners, we're reading how Peter began to preach. And it was not a hard message. It was a heartfelt message that touched the hearts. When they were pricked in their hearts, Peter said, a man who had just repented, he said, repent. Repent. I believe he cried it out. Oh, yeah. But I believe there was some power that went with that from the heart of a man who knew what it was to humble himself in the presence of God. Amen. We all stand on the same level when we stand at the foot of the cross. There's no big I's and little U's. We're all going to need to stand there and humble ourselves in the presence of God. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. We're here today, breathing, living, healthy enough to be in church. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's been good to every one of us here today. Amen. He put some gas in our tank, or He put some shoe leather on our feet, or however we got here. Amen. There might have been some difficult times this week, but we made it. It's the goodness of God. Hallelujah. It brought us here today. And that same goodness can bring us to repentance. Bring us to repentance. If we go back to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, that verse 11, there's something about that verse. When Paul tells what repentance did for a church, it turned that church around. Amen. That church was headed the wrong direction. Oh yeah, they had obeyed the gospel message, but that church needed to still be directed. And said this. He said, "Behold, this self same thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort." That godly sort of sorrow brought them to true repentance. You know, we look at some folks and we say, "How? How can it be that they weep tears and they get up from an altar and they go back out and live like the devil?" Well, there's a sorrow of this world also that can bring tears. That sorrow that says, "Oops, I got caught. Oops, I had to pay a fine," for instance. Or, "Oops, I've got to pay my dues and I've got to get that behind me." That kind of sorrow is not going to be a godly sort of sorrow. But there is a sorrow after a godly sort. The tears look the same. The heaving shoulders and the sobs, they sound the same. But Paul said they have a different result. And that result is, oh, what carefulness it wrought in you. You didn't want to sin again. You were careful about how you lived when you got up from that altar. Yay, what clearing of yourselves. Amen. You went out and made right whatever you could make right. Hallelujah. It might have been a brother or sister standing right there. And you give them one of those holy hugs. And say, "Brother, please forgive me." Amen. What clearing of yourselves. And then he goes on to say, "Yay, what indignation. I hate that devil." Amen. I resist that temptation. I'm going back that way. Indignant about that sin. Amen. "Yay, what fear." We still have flesh. Even after we pray, We don't sprout wings. We don't go right up to heaven right at that time. Sometimes we wish we could while we're right. But what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Look what is born in someone, in a church even here, that begins to find that place of repentance. Yea, what zeal. Yea, what revenge. Not only did the church feel and experience the power of repentance, but it went beyond those four walls. Amen. It went out. What zeal. Oh, they had a fresh desire to reach those about them. They had a fresh love for God that began to... It's born again in our hearts when we repent and be renewed in the Holy Ghost. There's a brand new life that starts at repentance. Hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. He said, in all things, ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Well, if they can do that for a church that existed a couple thousand years ago, surely it can do it for one individual like me or like somebody here this morning that needs some repentance. Amen. There's a humbling. There's a humbling that we need to experience. And all of us are going to eat some humble pie. That's a phrase I used to hear when I was a kid. You know, I've eaten my fair share. I've eaten several humble pies entirely in my life. And it ain't over, I'm sure. No, I don't look forward to it, but I need it. I need it. Amen. We all need to be humbled. We all need to be brought down to where we really are. Amen. Who we really are. And that humbling sets us up for a powerful experience of repentance in the presence of the Lord. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, hallelujah, what victory, what vehement desire can come through that simple act. Amen. Somebody may want to get closer to God this morning. You came this morning in your heart. You said, man, I'm going to the house of God. I want to leave there better than when I got there. Hallelujah. Oh, it might be like going to the doctor. You went to the doctor. You sat in the waiting room. Then comes the procedure. No, you weren't so excited about that part. But you left better. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in the waiting room right now. We're about ready to find a place at an altar where God can work on us. Amen. The great physician. Praise God. We can leave better than when we came. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I was in a little church for a number of years down in Texas. Well, we had a great time down there. And when we got there, it was a small congregation. But such kind people, such good people. And we had, typical services, prayer times. And went back into the prayer rooms. Unfortunately, they hadn't been used much recently. Had a men's prayer room over here, and ladies' prayer room over there. And went back and started to brush the cobwebs out of the prayer rooms and found a couple of benches back in those prayer rooms. And they were obviously handmade, well handmade by somebody who was skilled. But pulled those benches out, flipped them over, and found the name on the bottom of the man who had made those. He'd written it in pencil. The carpenter was C.P. Kilgore, who had been through that part of the country, and he even wrote the date on there. It was 1952. He came through that part of the country. And what he would do, I was told, is that man was a well-known man of God. Many people still know his name. But he would go through an area, and he would find a place to pray. There may or may not be a church there. But he would just find a place to pray and weep over that area. Cry out to God. God, would you give us a harvest here? And while he was there, many times he would do what he did in that little church. He would build some mourner's benches. That's what they called them. Altars, where you could set them out there. And he would inaugurate those benches by weeping first at those benches, at those mourners' benches. So somewhere along the way, his tears stained
that beautiful varnished surface. And there are others, many others, I'm sure, that used those benches, but they had been stuffed away back there. To me, that was a sad statement, that there were some, apparently, who didn't feel the need to weep any longer in the presence of God. Didn't see the value, didn't see the results, didn't see the whatever. There's something missing. And not knowing how to humble ourselves in the presence of God. There's some things that are going to only come by repentance. Amen. We do need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We do need to be buried in the name of Jesus. But we'll never draw any closer to God without going through that gate of repentance. Amen. Baptism will do us little good. We'll never receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, really, without a season of repentance. Amen. And God calls us from time to time. He said, would you find a, I want to call it a mourner's bench back then, or an altar, we call it now. And by the way, this altar has been wet with many tears right here. Some of you. Amen. Amen. But there's never an end to that. Amen. God works through tears. There is a bottle somewhere up in heaven. And the psalmist David said, you have put my tears in thy bottle. Amen. It's time sometimes just to top that off again. Put some tears in that bottle. I'm not going to make this heavy on a Sunday morning, but if we could stand together, amen. And if there's somebody here that had said in your heart, I'd like to get a little closer to God today. Amen. There's not going to be anybody here. You know, the person who, the tear inspector. The tear inspector is out for the day. I'm not talking about the pastor either. I'm not implying that. But I just want us to know there's nobody going to be looking over our shoulder while we pray. Hey, God. It's between us and God, isn't it, really? Amen. But maybe somebody here would like to just cry out to God, create in me a clean heart, Lord. It feels like I'm doing pretty good, but maybe I'm missing something. Maybe there's something you could convict me of and prick me in my heart if I need that, Lord. If I need that, Lord. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord together here just for a few moments. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, we're blessed to be in your presence today. A mighty God. A God who loves us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, we can lift up our hands in your presence. We can lift up our voices in your presence. Oh, God, there is power in repentance. There's power in your blood. Lord, we thank you for victory that you can give us over sin. God, we thank you for the blessings that come when we humble ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Lord, you said if we humble ourselves, Lord, if we abase ourselves, you will lift us up. You will lift us up. Oh, God, you have the option to exalt us. We'll come humbly into your presence today. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, would you like that heart to be tender again? Like those emotions to be free and fresh again, where you don't have to put on that joy. It's real. Oh, you don't have to put on that love for God. It's real. When you hug your neighbor's neck, it's real. Amen. Oh God, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.